Welcome to another episode of Reality Check. My name is Dan Hartwig. You know, Jay Richardson filling in today for Maurice Clarett. And of course, the beautiful, the Sierra Hartwig. So,
he's just a little biased.
Come on. On today's episode, we're going to be talking a little bit about reverse dieting. What the heck is reverse dieting? And then most importantly, let's talk a little bit about how we get past the problems. How do we get past the things that maybe are holding us back? So, let's get right into Reality Check.
So for starters today, what I wanted to kind of touch on was, as you guys know, I have a show coming up this weekend. I get a ton, of questions about post-show blues. A lot of competitors like reach out to me and ask me like how I deal with the post-show blues, or if that's something I battle. Fortunately for me, I've been doing this so long and I kind of had a different mindset. I don't really know what prepared me for it, maybe because I heard people talk about it like early on, so I wasn't blindsided, which is nice. What they're referring to when it comes to post-show blues is a really like, you train for like all these months, you diet real hard, all for one show, you know, you're two straight months, no cheat meals for some people, you know, and then they get there, and then afterwards it's kind of like, what's next? You did this, and it's kind of like you're at like this really heightened level of excitement, like you reached your goal, and then it's like, now what?
Right.
So for me, a show is not just the end goal for me. I'm on a mission to keep getting better with or without competing. I'm always going to pour into myself and into my health. So I think that's what keeps me like level-headed. I don't feel like I need to post-show, eat 73 Big Macs and just like let myself go. Like I would
definitely eat the Big Macs. I would go crazy.
I mean, you can have a cheat meal afterwards, but like I don't know. My end game is long-term health. So for me, I can just stay on track. That's fortunate for me though. Other people battle different like mental situations where they don't know what to do. Jay, I'm sure like with football especially being so young and reaching a professional level at such a young age, have you ever, you know, maybe when you finished football, like how did you transition? Like how did you keep yourself from going from here to here per se? Living life of a normal person versus being this like superstar athlete. Like, what do you do afterwards?
Life.
Yeah, because it's a different planet, I feel like, when you're on that level.
You're just in a different mode mentally, physically, spiritually for like that part of your journey. And you're right. It's a great question because it's something that guys struggle with a lot. My situation was slightly different because I didn't grow up playing like Little League football and I didn't envision myself as a football player as a kid, like 90% of the guys I would imagine the NFL did.
Right.
The stories I hear, these guys have been doing this since they could walk. And I didn't play until high school. So it was, but once you get immersed into this life and into this, it's like a system, right? Like from Ohio State through the NFL, you're jacked into this system of, you know, train, eat, sleep, football, train, eat, sleep. I mean, and it's like you just go through this cycle for, if you're lucky, you could do it for a long time, right? So you 4 to 5 years in college, and then, you know, I played 7 seasons. So now I'm 30, and you're ejected out of the system. And it's never on your terms. Like, it's never like, unless you're like Peyton Manning and you win a Super Bowl and you're like, you know what, now's a great time.
Right.
Nah, most of us, we like get dragged out kicking and screaming like, hold on, I got one more left, I still feel good. Or you have a catastrophic injury and it's like super abrupt. Mine was slightly unique because I got ejected 2 separate times. So like after year 4, I thought I was done. It was like right after the lockout year, nobody was calling and I was like, man, this is, I thought it would last a little longer than this. And that,
but that's still
over
a very long time.
Sure, but it's not, you know, we all have these lofty expectations when we're 24. You think, you know, I want to be like Ray Lewis, I want to play for 15, you know, whatever. And then it's like been 4 and you're out and you're like, oh my God, what am I going to do with myself? And I did. I had the post-career blues for like, you know, 3 or 4 months. I was in the tank and didn't even realize that depression really creeps up on you.
Right.
And you have no idea you're depressed until people that love you, your friends around you are like, hey man, like, You good? You're like, yeah, I'm fine. You're like, oh shit, maybe I'm not fine. And it gets in your mind. What I did, and I think Dan, you'll appreciate this. I had a friend of mine who was in insurance. He was in life insurance, and he was doing pretty well. And he goes, bro, how about this? How about we get you into something different? It's very different than football, but with your contacts and personality, I think you do well. But it's just something to get you out of your funk and build a different skill set, work a different muscle. I went and got licensed in health and life. And
I had no idea. Yeah. Did you know that?
Yeah. Fun fact about
that
me, right?
That is a fun fact.
And for like months, I was you know, like making calls and going and being an insurance agent. And I remember the first paycheck I got, it wasn't for like an NFL paycheck, right? I think
right.
It might have been like $2,800. I'll never forget. And I just remember seeing it and being like welled up with pride and like almost got emotional because it was like the first check that didn't have an NFL logo on it or owner or a team. Like I earned this on my own.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that was a big, big deal for me.
That's amazing.
At, you know, 25 years old. And then all of a sudden, a couple of years, you know, not even like about 4 months later, I get a call and, hey, you want to get back to work doing what you love? And I was able to, you know, stay in it for a few more years. And that was a huge blessing for me. But I had already gone through that process once.
Yeah.
So the second time when I was done, it really wasn't like, I knew I wanted to get in the broadcast. I already had my mind set on it. I had been working on it the previous two off seasons, going to the station and asking to get some reps on camera for free and just wanting to just learn. So when I got done, the transition was a lot smoother because I had a taste of like that depression and post-career blues for about 6 months. And that was tough, but it made all the difference in training me to have to learn a new skill set and to have to re-identify myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key. Like, who are you when you look in the mirror? I can't just be a football player. Right?
Yeah, you're more than that.
That was a big deal for me.
Right, for sure.
Anything you wanna add to that, Dan?
Yeah, you know, I think it all starts with, you know, with having a vision, because not every transition is smooth.
Oh,
you know,
no.
So sometimes, you know, you take a look at, okay, well, you know, post-show blues, you know, whether you're working out, whether it be you had a child, whether it be you're changing careers, not every transition is smooth,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I think one of the things that, you know, can help a lot of people is having the idea of, okay, what's next? Meaning like you compete for this show. Do you have an idea once the show is finished, like how you're going to transition out of that? I think what prevents a lot of people from having a smoother transition is they get to this peak and then they fall off the other side because they don't know how to handle it. So, you know, I think having a plan in play where it's like, hey, listen, once I get to this point, here's what I'm going to do. It's like taking the idea of here's my vision, here's my goal. And when I get there, it's not going to be a final destination.
Correct.
It's going to be a milestone for me to then set a new destination.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like if you're trying to get out of the post-show blues, it's like, okay, well, how do I do reverse dieting?
Yeah, that's why reverse dieting is so important.
Right. So,
time out. What the hell is reverse dieting? I only know dieting one way, and that's forward,
okay.
Not reverse.
So reverse dieting, really, it's kind of sad, but not everybody knows what it is in like the competition industry, and it is so important. So like any diet that you were to do, even like people who do like the Atkins,
mm-hmm.
like keto type dieting, any dieting or restriction you do, you can't just like snap back out of it and just say you're doing keto for like 4 months and then all of a sudden you're done doing keto and you just go back to eating 17 burgers at a time. Like, you can't do that. Like, that will destroy your metabolism. So,
which I shouldn't have 17 burgers.
No. Or I think Reese says he can eat how many nuggets?
He can eat a lot of nuggets.
I
know he can
eat
three packages of ramen noodles all at one time because I watched him do it. It was horrible to watch.
That is such a random thing.
He has a
like,
disgusting diet, man. I don't know
how he's so fit, but
he should be as big as this table. He must have decent genetics.
Right. But reverse dieting really starts with getting back to the plan.
Yeah.
So whatever, so this week, like my diet changed strictly for the purposes of like drying out. So we kind of lower my water, like we'll lower my water down to a gallon and a half. Some people think
drying out, it's like a term, means like, so you have more cuts and you can see all your muscles better.
Yeah, and your muscles will be fuller. We up my carbs a little bit. But So immediately afterwards, instead of going out binging eating whatever I want, because that would be horrible for my metabolism, what I do is I get back on track by going back to last week's diet or something similar. So, for instance, whatever I was doing last week would be what I was doing the previous 3 weeks. You slowly want to incorporate upping your food, opposed to just going, snap, I'm going to eat whatever. And that way your metabolism has time to adjust and you're not throwing off your insulin levels and all that craziness. One thing my friend and I do is for our egg white substitute, some people cannot have egg whites. They just hate egg whites. They're like, I don't know how you do it. You can start to incorporate things like mussel egg. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's like the flavored egg whites. You can swap those for
Try
your egg whites.
Before.
Yeah.
Those
like
those
the chocolate
good.
Ones.
You would typically think like, okay, well, no, I can cook egg whites. No. We're talking about drinking.
Yeah.
These nuts
so much easier to drink them.
Chocolate flavored egg whites.
That's different though.
They're so good.
Regular egg whites. We're talking like Sierra will naturally just grab the
egg
white
card
and drink normal egg whites.
I drink regular ones
base
too. Yeah.
Goo.
It's like snot. It looks like snot.
Yeah, egg whites. And you'll drink
She'll
them.
She'll drink.
Yeah, I'll drink them. I mean, would I prefer mussel egg? Yes. But I take out like any artificial sweeteners or anything like that. And I cook like all whole foods like when I'm this close to a show.
It's like a different mindset to do something like
that. But you know,
it's really not that bad.
When
you gotta try it. We'll have you do it on a show.
You truly
Listen.
Are...
The muscle egg, though?
Eating to live, not living to
the
eat,
muscle
right?
egg, it's like 26, 28 grams of protein.
Zero fat.
It's like zero fat,
zero
carbs. I mean,
yeah,
it's like.
You can't beat that.
Zero fun, zero fun.
No.
It's
zero happiness.
The muscle egg is happiness,
zero
you guys.
Happiness. No.
The muscle egg is happiness, so you guys know. It's so much easier. It's just things like that, and slowly like upping your calories instead of just doing like one whole shebang of going. Hey, I'm eating whatever I want. That's like the worst thing you can do. Kind of like how you transitioned out of football. You didn't just stop working. Then you moved on to another career and explored other opportunities. And a lot of times, like the whole football career set you up for that because you learned so many valuable skills in football that kind of transitioned to that. So I just think it's cool that we all have a plan post goals and post whatever it is you're doing and prepping for to set you up for other future success so it's not just like the end game there.
It's you know, I think that an interesting point about that too is like, okay, so let's say for instance that you want to be a millionaire. You win the lottery, you become a millionaire, but then think about how many times people go bankrupt as soon as they become a millionaire. It's like you need to have the foundational principles of what to do with the money before you become a millionaire, because otherwise, like, you'll just ruin yourself.
Same habits that got you the million will be the, you know.
Correct.
Or how you keep it.
Correct.
You get it the wrong way, then it'll be gone, right?
It's all cyclical, for sure.
It's all psychology.
Yeah. Well, moving on, I know that everybody is excited to hear about SDS, the Suburban Dad.
This week's
what we got this
I'm
week.
I'm sure Dan.
Wait, last week it was a suburban Labrador retriever.
Suburban Labrador.
Up a tree almost.
Yeah.
Did you see that episode? I didn't get any feedback from him.
I'm still so
I got
disappointed.
Double
he's embarrassed. You know why
the GMO eating dog.
He's hoping nobody sees that episode. he knows that how that made him look. That's really
Whole Foods.
It's a bad
dog.
Look.
Homie we were
not
laughing
bad.
The next day about it.
I laughed about it yesterday. Just watching some of the clip. Like, man, what was he thinking? Like, come on, man.
So scared.
What's the dog going to tear you to pieces?
Chihuahua.
What we got this week?
This week. Well, on this week's episode of Suburban Dad, we got a new pet.
Oh, wait a minute. I think.
Do you know about it?
I don't know, but
I have
an idea.
Here's one of the things I'll tell you. Okay.
I kind of don't want people to know because people are going to think differently.
It's not a traditional pet.
I'm glad that they say they're going to think differently of you.
I wish it was a raccoon.
Because let me explain. when you have a wife who just loves, of course I'm going to connect you because this is your pet. Okay, you got a wife that is just absolutely an animal lover, all kinds. It doesn't matter if it's a spider. Like you know, you kill the spider.
I don't like spiders.
She's like spiders. spiders have souls. You got to take the spider outside.
We're all
got
children.
Have you ever looked into one of those 8 eyes? They got, it looks soulless.
I just don't want them to be touch me, but I don't want them to die.
But you want them to exist, just not near you.
Yeah.
So let me kind of explain this for a moment. Okay. There's a bowl full of food sitting on the kitchen counter. And she's like, "Will you put this outside for mamas?" I said, "What?"
For mamas.
And she said, "For mamas." And I said, "I don't know what we're talking about here." She goes, "Just put the bowl outside." So I put the bowl outside, and the next morning, she's like, "Mamas came." I'm like, "I don't know what you're talking about." So she shows me the video clip. This has been an ongoing thing nightly.
It's been about 3.5 weeks.
Every single night, she puts the bowl out. And what approaches every single night on our front porch, eating the bowl, but an opossum. And this
one
is...
One of those,
so
you're feeding possums.
Listen.
It's just one possum.
Listen.
And she's so happy, she loves pizza.
So here's the best part.
You're feeding the possum pizza.
She loves pizza. She gets so excited for pizza, pizza rolls. Pizza bagels.
I feel like it would get excited for
this
about
is, I was making her sandwiches, but she didn't like the avocado sandwich, but she did like PB.
But here's
sandwiches.
Listen, here's the best part. So the other so like fresh. So listen,
yeah.
so the other
I
so
bought
the other
mini
day,
toast this big. You know the mini toast you can
You know they'll eat the trash if you just leave it out there.
Yeah, but I wanted it to be nice and clean for her. So she would come back.
See what I'm saying about all these domesticated suburban animals that eat better than most people do? You see what I'm saying?
So the other day we have you know, she doesn't tell me that she also ordered stuff off of Instacart.
I forgot.
So, you know, I'm outside, you know, putting mama's bowl outside. And, you know, I'm looking behind the furniture that we have on the front porch. Because I'm like, what the heck?
I think
like,
she lives in
there's like food like now like behind there. So I'm like, I'm like bending over looking at like the food. And all of a sudden, like I'm expecting this thing to pop out of nowhere. And all of a sudden, no, the Instacart, you know, man's like walking up front. And I'm like, this is going to be like so awkward. I got the bowl, like Sierra's got the camera facing
I like
you know,
to watch
towards
it
the thing. So the guy says, he sees a bowl full of like food and pizza. He's like, "Oh, do you guys have a cat?"
He said, "Do you have a cat or something?"
So you know what my response? Hesitant. Yeah.
So,
yeah, man, it's a cat.
Listen, you're not going to respond no. We're
just
feeding an opossum in the suburbs.
Now we're feeding
you know
every neighborhood animal and wildlife. Like
no,
a mile
it's
radius.
Just her though. She just comes every night, and it's so she's so cute. She has the cutest little tail.
It is not a little tail. It is a rat tail. It's like a foot long.
Okay, I'm going to ask Tyler to include a clip of her from one of the videos, so that you guys can.
You have this footage available?
Oh,
I
yes,
see
I do.
Yeah.
Yes, and you'll see her. She uses her hands, and she literally eats the pizza, and she'll like she like lifts her own dish. It's so cute.
Fresh pizza.
Yeah.
Because you know they'll eat anything.
She likes Chipotle too. But moving on.
Got dietary restrictions for the possum. This is wild.
Moving on, I think that, Jay, how about you leave us with some motivation?
Why don't we go over to the champion of the week?
Who's the champion?
Today's champion, champion of the week. I got this. Okay, I looked this up. This guy's name.
He did a wall sit for 73 days. No, I'm just kidding.
No, this guy's name is Mike Fremont. Okay, Mike Fremont out of Cincinnati, Ohio. So
the last one was a plank, by the way, for 9 hours.
Yeah.
Which is come on.
I could totally do that.
So I looked this up. Mike Fremont of Cincinnati, Ohio.
Ohio boy.
He is 99 years old.
What?
And
he's still doing around.
He's pounding the pavement for 5 miles at a time, 3 times a week.
When you say pounding the pavement, like with a hammer?
No, I'm talking like this guy is walking. This guy is walking 5 miles a day, 3 times a week at the age of 99.
Okay, that's like Grandma Betty. I really don't, I mean...
At 99?
At 99. I'm calling him.
He's
if you
taking,
don't stop, it should be easy.
He's taking 5 miles. He's fortunate to still be with us, is what we're trying to say. Like, what's he even doing here?
This guy is super youthful. This guy's super youthful.
That's amazing.
You know,
I want to see a picture of him.
Here's one of the things I'll tell you.
He must wear New Balance.
When you see people that are 99 years old that are doing stuff like that, it's so hard to make excuses.
Mm-hmm. Man,
you know, it's kind of like, you know, when you were
so inspiring.
When you were 37 weeks pregnant and you're doing leg lunges. It's very hard.
And jump squats. And I was so large. 176 pounds, I had to do jump squats in front of everybody.
Yeah.
And you handled your business. Because you were motivated.
Yep.
I was a chunky monkey.
Yeah, for sure.
Listen, I've been there. Not pregnant, but heavy.
That is really impressive, and that inspires me. Kind of like the longevity thing that we keep talking about.
Yeah.
About, you know, health and wellness being like long-term, not something that's just here and now for a small time frame. My grandpa always told me, he's like, you know, don't stop exercising. He's like, as soon as I stopped walking is when I really slowed down. And he used to walk like 5 miles a day at the mall. And I thought that was so cool. Every single morning, he was so excited to do that.
My mom's a walker. She goes out in the neighborhood and she'll walk for like 5-6 miles. And listen, I'm an explosive. Like, I either gotta do some sprints and then get out of there. I can't just, like, walk around.
I look forward to the day to see you doing sprints at 99.
I won't be here. If I'm still here at 99, something went wrong. I'm not even trying to be here at 99. Listen, here for a good time, not a long time.
Why don't you, Jay, leave us off with some final motivation for anybody out there who is looking to, you know, just keep going or stay motivated after they reach their goals or want to play new ones, how they can find new goals for their transition, or what do you got for us today?
So you guys had me thinking about, you know, my transition and like the mini depression I went into before the transition, and it just gave me some ideas about like what motivated me at that time. And you know how they say, like, hey, you can be anything you want to be when you're a kid. We all know, like, that's not really always true. Like, you can be anything you're good at.
That is true. You have
a talent for. Mm-hmm. But you can't just go be anything. I mean, you can try. Probably not going to work out. But the point is, we all have gifts, right? And we all have things that that we are just naturally inclined to be interested in. And, like, for me, it was always broadcast. Like, I always really enjoyed watching commentators. And, you know, anytime I was watching a football game, either with friends or a girlfriend or whatever, I would sit and kind of do like my Romo impression and just like kind of call the game from the couch. And I remember my friends would be like, yo, you should do this. Like, this is something that you're pretty good at. And I guess the point of what I'm saying is, anytime you have a talent and your people around you recognize that talent, like, that's great, but it's now up to you to hone that gift and to put the work in to refine it, to make it worth what it could be worth. And to take it from a, hey, you're pretty good at that, to, hey, you could probably make a career out of this, or this could be something that, you know, you that could be a lane for you if you choose. And, like, we're in this age of technology now where anything's possible. Like, you know, you see guys who stream themselves playing video games, making millions of dollars.
I know, so crazy.
You would have never thought that was an avenue for financial success or financial freedom, you know, 15 mm-hmm. years ago, is playing video games. So I guess what I'm saying is, like, anything that you truly enjoy, that you truly think you have a gift for, if you're willing to put the hours in, to put the time in, to refine it, if you're willing to really work at it, it's the best, most fulfilling feeling to be able to earn a living doing something that you enjoy and are naturally inclined to be good at anyway. And I think for people out there, there's so many roots to the success now than there was 15, 20, 30, 40 years ago. So get out there, like, find information on how you can kind of develop your talents and how you can find ways to exploit your own talents towards your own end and gains, like these lovely people do, and like I'm blessed to be able to do.
There we go. There's another episode of Reality Check. Go ahead and like, share, subscribe. We'll see you next time.